When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are our traveling host. You have been in a million different places. Where are you today?
Today I am in Humboldt, California. Wow. Deep nice. In Northern California.
Nice.
Yeah. I know I've mentioned on the show before, I was solo parenting for 3 months. And
yes.
So my wife came home. Actually, she came home for a weekend in the middle of her shoot. Our son had a rock show. And so she came home for like 48 hours for that. It was crazy and hectic worth it.
Yeah, can we get into that real quick?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going to need to go back to our 7-year-old had a rock show.
Had a rock show?
Yes. So there's an amazing place. It's like one of these school of rock type, kids, music classes kind of place. And it's called Kid Row. In Los Angeles.
I love it.
Nice.
And so my son's been going there forever. And, they basically form a band and learn songs. And so he performed some Imagine Dragons songs.
Nice.
And some other, it was amazing. Anyway.
Well, that's much cooler than a geology show, which was the other option that it could have been. And not that that's a bad thing, but still, a whole nother way to go.
Gotcha.
Anthracite.
So she came home for 48 hours, and while she was home, she could see how, overwhelmed I was with parenting and whatnot. And not only that, but we had this plan. We're going to Alaska for 3 weeks this summer. We're calling it Alaskan summer. And she was like, you need to go away and have, a week of just writing by yourself before Aww. You're going to be able to relax on our Alaskan summer. And I was like, thank you. So I'm
awesome.
In the middle of that right now. So
how
I,
wonderful.
Got a cabin up in Humboldt, and I'm just, getting some time away before we head into a family vacation for 3 weeks.
Ryder, nice. I already sang your praises for being able to single parent for 3 months.
because I have two children and I occasionally single parent for like an hour or two here and there. Yeah. And it's really hard.
Yeah. It's just really hard to find any alone time. And that's what, like, literally, I've been up here for 2 days. And like yesterday, it was just the weirdest sensation. I kept looking around being like, when's somebody going to tell me what I have to do? Or where I have to pick somebody up or go do something or be cooking. And it was like, oh no, I get to decide. Yeah, it's been nice.
And Will, you're also traveling.
I have so much sympathy for, full-time solo parents out there, especially with multiple kids. It's just, never have, it's like when you have a kid, it's like there's a part of your brain that's just constantly activated, right? It's like you're always aware of your child. And when you have a partner, you can share that load. And when you don't, it's just like, oh, that part of your brain never gets turned off. So it's just exhausting. It's like mentally exhausting. Even if you are, able to get some time to sleep or whatever, it's like you never quite feel alone.
Yes.
So that's, it's
wow. And Will, where are you?
I am in an undisclosed location. My testimony is tomorrow, so I'm very excited. No, I am right outside of Chicago for Fan Expo Chicago. So big Comic-Con, and we were all here. I think I was with you. We were all in Chicago, weren't we? I can't remember.
That's the one like right near the airport, basically.
Yes.
Right?
So I'm like watching planes land as we speak right now. And I was bought by a much bigger company. So I was in Denver last weekend, Chicago this weekend. Then I go from here to Hartford, then from there to Boston. And then from there to Nova Scotia, and then from there to San Francisco. So it's
mayor of the con.
It is the mayor of the con. Yes,
mayor
we're
of
doing.
The con. We'll
we are on our 20th anniversary of Kim Possible, so we are going to do that run, and then we're doing our other podcast, the I Hear Voices podcast, live at all of these big events. So it's a ton of fun. We're having
so
a blast,
so
but it's a lot of traveling.
Ryder went away to be alone, and you are meeting as many people as humanly possible.
Exactly, and I just got over COVID, so I can hug, kiss, lick anybody I want for
no
like
thanks.
3 months. It's great.
Well, I'm just here in LA.
I was going to say, where are you? You're still home.
I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything. I just...
Will give you the you don't go anywhere. I absolutely disagree with the you don't do anything. You're doing nine things every hour.
No, you're right. I do a lot of things. I do a lot of things. I just do them inside my house or in the immediate vicinity around my house. I am really excited for our episode today. We are recapping episode number 107, Grandma Was a Rolling Stone. And we have our very first non-Boy Meets World related guest. And her name is Lauren Lapkus. Please welcome Lauren Lapkus to the pod.
Hi. Oh my God, Lauren. I'm so excited.
We are so excited. Please.
I love the podcast. I was actually just listening to the episode that came out today right before we started. So I didn't get to catch up completely, but I'm pretty caught up. And it's so good. I was telling Danielle, I was like, I was so surprised listening to the show, like how honest you guys are about it. And I think it makes the podcast so good. It's like, I did a podcast called Raised by TV that Ryder was on that was like a nostalgia deep dive with my friend John Gabris, like going back into like all the TV we loved. And we talked about all this stuff, but like hearing you guys talk about your experience as kids doing the show, it just takes it to another level. It's so good. Like, it's so interesting to listen to. And the behind the scenes stuff is like blowing my mind. So
well,
I already love to
awesome.
Like look, go
well,
back and watch this kind of stuff, but to hear what was going on is like amazing.
Well, that means a lot coming from you because you are an absolute podcast pro. You are most known for Threedom and Comedy Bang Bang, and you are Emmy nominated. You were in Orange is the New Black. You're The Wrong Missy. I mean, your list of credits go on and on. You're also one of my nearest and dearest and closest friends.
Yes.
And we're just really excited to have you here. Can you tell me a little bit about like what your history or story with Boy Meets World is? Did you watch it as a kid?
Oh my God, yes. I watched every episode 5 billion times. I think I definitely watched it a ton. I watched TGIF every week for sure. That was like very exciting appointment TV for me. I've seen it all. And so... And I've definitely rewatched it as an adult as well. Like, it's comfort food to me. Like, Full House, Step by Step, Boy Meets World, all this stuff, like, fills, like, a certain, like, little, blanket hole inside of my body.
It's so funny how that's true for so many people. Yes. You know, like that, I don't know, is it just the specific era or is that true of everybody for television shows that they grow up with?
I don't know.
Everybody for television shows.
Yeah, I think it's a bit, because like doing my show, like we had people on who were older than me and like hearing the shows they cared about from like the 60s and stuff. I was like, okay, so it feels that way just to revisit that stuff no matter what, because it's such a perfect, you know, it's not a perfect time in everyone's life, but it's a safe time in that your brain, that you don't know everything yet. Like you can just kind of completely disconnect by watching television because you're not really thinking about anything else like as a kid.
Yeah. It's amazing for people with anxiety too, because it brings them right back to a time before all that happened. I mean, how often do I talk about MASH? And that's because that's what it does. It's that same thing for me, that same feeling of like, oh, I don't have to think. I don't have to do anything. I just have to go back to a time where I'm sitting in front of the television watching Hawkeye Pierce. Like, it's
and
it's
been a while for me since I've like gone back and watched a lot of shows, meaning of just a few years because I was doing that podcast. But like doing the podcast kind of took it to a different level for me because I was like revisiting them so deeply that I started to have less comfort from them. Because I was like talking about
it. Became your job.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But like yesterday I watched this episode that we're going to talk about and I was like, oh, I should do this every day. This feels amazing. I'm back. I was like on the couch like, this is good. This is amazing. I'm not thinking about, because also as an actor, I think like I watch a lot of reality because I like to not think about acting.
Totally.
And like going back to what the shows I watched as a kid, I wasn't thinking about it that way. I wasn't thinking that you guys were real people. So like, it wasn't like, I wasn't going like, oh, I heard something about that guy. Oh, he's, you know, whatever. Like, you know, I don't know anything. I'm just watching a show of like just a play that feels good. It's nice. Yeah.
Who was your favorite character?
Oh my God.
And it better be one of us.
I mean, well, I loved you all. I loved Topanga. Topanga was kind of like, I think I can safely say it's like everybody's goal in a different way. Like girls wanted to be her, boys wanted to date her. It's like she's such a like perfect character. So sweet, so funny. And you played it so beautifully and you're so cute. It was like, that was a character that I think everybody loved. But Ryder, I mean, you had the haircut, which I know we've talked about. I mean... The haircut was epic. Like at that point in time, and it was so interesting to hear you talk about how they like kind of made you have this haircut.
Yeah.
But it's like
this is trauma. I am lived in trauma. It's okay. Keep talking.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
But as a girl in the like in like middle school, it was like that's the ideal boy haircut. So cute. And obviously, Will, I mean, you had like some of the funniest moments on the show, I think, without a doubt. Hearing you talk about your self-consciousness, watching it back is so funny because I'm just like, I watched it, this episode, it's an early episode.
Oh,
like,
he'll get cocky by season five. Season five, he's going to be like, let's watch that again. Can we roll that back? I was hysterical. You know, this man is not insecure as it goes on. He's just being honest about those first couple episodes.
This brings up a very important question, in my opinion. We obviously all watched episode number 107, Grandma Was a Rolling Stone. We'll get into it in a little bit.
I have a lot to say about this episode.
This was finally the very first episode you guys filmed, right? We've been talking about that for a long time. No.
The first one was the Nikki Cox episode.
The Nikki Cox episode.
Oh, the Nikki Cox episode.
How funny you say Nikki Cox, because I randomly could not sleep the other night, and then I was like, what was the name of that woman on the show with the talking buddy? And I got on my phone in the middle of the night in the dark, figured out that it was Nikki Cox, and then I read her whole Wikipedia. I learned a lot.
Well, she was on Boy Meets World.
This is a glimpse into your life, Lauren.
She was my first girlfriend. My first Tuesday girlfriend night when I moved to Los Angeles was Nikki Cox. She was 15.
Really?
I was 16. It was like, we dated for like a month. I think we held hands once. It was awesome.
My mind is blown because then that wasn't in the wiki.
No, but they took it out. Somebody edited that out. Yeah.
They did mention that she
was Nikki Cox.
She dated Kevin Conroy.
Nice.
No.
Thank you,
Danielle. She was like, who put that in there?
Let's get that out of there. We're going to keep Bobcat Goldthwait in, but we're getting rid of Will Friedle.
She was engaged to Bobcat.
She was.
My mind was blown.
She was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And dated Kevin. Mm. I was like, how did that go down? I want to hear the podcast about that.
Yeah. It's Nikki and I reconnected like 4 or 5 years ago and had a really nice kind of email exchange for a good 2 or 3 months. And then she dropped off the planet again.
Oh.
So she does that occasionally. But she's totally sweet.
Wait, so where does this episode, number 107, fall in the order of how you guys shot them?
I believe right before or right after Corey's alternative friends.
Okay.
So this was either our third or fourth one, or right after Corey's alternative friends. This might have been immediately after that. I think it was after Corey's alternative friends.
We started to get on track near here, didn't we? Like now they kind of started to air where we shot them a little bit.
Yes.
Like the first few were jumbled and then they kind of started to go in order.
Yeah. But this is clearly where they were writing one for you, Will. I mean, besides obviously the guest, you know, the grandma storyline, it feels like this is where, and I remember filming this one and watching those scenes with you and realizing how funny you were.
This was
so
an
I think
important
that this
episode.
Was where we were sort of Eric finally found his voice.
I was going to say. I actually was thinking this was like the first episode you guys filmed, and I was going to say, why did you get worse after this one? Because you were just amazing.
This is the episode where he hit his stride.
This is the one. This is like Eric was Eric, and a lot was the first time for. I mean, I remember finally getting the stones, the gall to go. I'm going to go talk to Michael Jacobs. I mean, he was this mythical creature that I was 16 at the time, and I was like, I oh my god! But I went and I said Mark because I'm not sure I knew his name, Michael. I want to do a scene with William Daniels. And this was, I think, maybe 2 weeks before he did this one. And he said, all right, well, we're writing something, but I'll make sure there's more in there for it. And then he came up to me. He's like, you're going to like what you got. You're going to like what you got. And so this, I asked, please let me work with
that.
Bill.
That's so
and
great, Will.
It worked. Like the two of the, we've talked in a lot of these episodes about pairing people up. Like they keep trying to pair people up and you never know what's going to work and what's going to match and what's not going to match. And it worked. It was, for some reason, Eric and Feeney worked together and kind of then became the template for a lot of the stuff that happened in the future. I mean, it was more Feeney and Corey early, but then it really, like, I was always partnered up with Bill.
But I want to talk about this later when we get into it, because there are key differences to the relationship at this point between you and Bill. I feel like the characters are very different than they become.
We can talk about it. Little nuggets of Eric being stupid and little nuggets of he's not as smart as we think.
let's jump into it.
It was great.
Yeah, please.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fishel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow.
Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
So the episode is about that Feeny's niece is coming for a visit and Eric gets Morgan to help in asking her out. But he's also getting Morgan to ask a lot of girls out. Corey and the kid's grandma come for the weekend and she makes a promise to Corey, but he is disappointed when she leaves early and he misses out on a fishing trip that Sean ends up going on with Alan Matthews. So this was directed by David Trainer, as all the episodes in the first and second seasons were. The writers, Michael Jacobs, April Kelly, and Ed Dechter, who was one of the EPs at the time. I didn't know that Dechter and Strauss ever wrote episodes separately.
Did they? I thought this was Dechter and Strauss.
Well, this my rundown just says Ed Dechter, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't Dechter and Strauss.
I think if memory serves, it says Dechter and Strauss in the opening crawl, I think.
Okay, I'll double check that.
Yeah, they always wrote together.
Yeah.
You said this aired out of order, why you weren't there yet, Danielle?
No, it aired actually, it's possible that they filmed this right before I had been on an episode, or they filmed it right after I had been on an episode, but I was in episode 104, Corey's Alternative Friends, and Topanga was only supposed to be in that one episode. After I did that one episode, they knew they wanted to bring me back for more, but I hadn't already been included in storylines, so there were still many episodes that they did that I wasn't in because.
Well, how many did you end up doing in the first season? Were you in like after?
I think
after,
I'm
like,
in a
the
total
ninth?
Of 13.
Okay, like, okay. So you did half the season.
That's good.
The first
I
season?
Think so. I think once I come back, I may be in everyone after that. But for
okay,
I don't really know. But I feel like I did close to 13. But we'll see after the season's over.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
And were you still a guest at that point? Were you considered recurring?
I was.
Or you
I was
series
just
regular.
Guest. No, I was not a series regular. I was recurring in season one, and then I was a series regular. I was considered a series regular in season two, but I still didn't get to do every episode. So I was a series regular who was guaranteed 13, and then I think I ended up doing like 19 out of 22 or something.
You did like the poster shoot and everything for season two, though, didn't you? Like, aren't you on all the posters?
No,
and all the press and everything for season
I don't
two?
Think
no?
I don't think
she,
know.
And I don't even think she gets opening credits until season three. I don't, we'll have to yeah. find out, but I remember it being confusing and I remember being upset on your behalf. Like,
it was
I remember
honestly,
even then being like, she's working so hard and she's not part
and
of the
if
main
you
cast.
We've talked about it for sure privately, but if you guys knew the pay disparity.
Yeah.
Even after I became a series regular. And it was always the excuse that was used was that, well, we didn't know you were going to be on the show. We didn't know you. We weren't anticipating you.
It like, doesn't make any sense.
No.
But you just by have to go
when
two,
you get the credit that someone else has.
You did know. By yeah. season two, I was accounted for. I get that in season one, I wasn't a part of the budget. You weren't anticipating having another series regular. But right. like by season two, that excuse should go out the window. And then season three rolled around and it was still the same excuse. And there was. We'll get to it. I don't remember exactly where it was. I'll have to do some research with contacting Judy Savage, who was my agent at the time. I'll have to ask her, and my
no
dad may
to Ben
remember.
Savage.
No relation to Ben Savage. Okay.
No relation.
My fantastic agent.
Yeah. Ryder and I had the same agent for most of the show.
Wow.
And she was fantastic. Still is fantastic. And her agency, the Savage Agency, is still a fantastic Wonderful. Kids agent if you're looking to get your kid an agent.
All right. I'll sign
no, we'll
up.
Have to get we'll have yeah. to get into that because,
sign Holly.
Because you were seriously, I mean, there's still the pay disparity there. When then they are clearly building Corey and Topanga as a thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No,
so it
I
was
had to
like,
I had to threaten to not show up to a table
but
read.
But you were lucky to be on a TV show.
Yeah,
exactly.
Why aren't you just lucky to be on a TV show, working. Little girl?
And
little
by
girl.
The way, exactly. that is how I felt.
Exactly.
And
of course.
Right. Judy
That's why you need grown-ups like agents and, you know, parents who are, you know, and unfortunately, why would your parents be willing to, you know, they're not comfortable in the industry.
My
they're
dad
be
was.
Listening to
your
dad. Producers.
Oh, I can see your dad.
Oh, my
yeah,
dad
yeah, yeah,
was
yeah,
not
yeah.
having it. My no, dad and Judy oh, yeah, Savage were doing the negotiations Good. With ABC yeah. and
Good,
or Disney.
Judy was a pit bull. She was amazing.
And they said yeah. to us, you're not, you have to not go. And I was sobbing.
Of course.
I have to go.
Of course.
It's my job.
Oh my God,
and
I can't imagine.
You're going to lose this job for me. And that's what I kept saying to Judy and my dad was because they would be like, listen, what, you know, this is what you should be getting. This is where we're at. And the only way to get it is if they know that you're serious about not coming back unless you get treated fairly. And I was like, but I don't feel that way.
<You're> like, just, I'll do anything.
Just do not lose this job for me. That's how I exactly. feel. If they end up firing
oh
me
God.
Because I don't show up to a table read, I will never speak to my family
yeah.
ever again.
It's so scary.
And I did. Oh I ended up
this
I ended
is
up
such
not
sausage
showing up.
Of child actordom.
Oh my God.
It's like, this is how the sausage gets made.
I know. Well, awful. Anyway, I'm not in this episode. Let's talk about this episode. So this is a huge episode for Boy Meets World because we have two amazing guest stars.
Oh
Rue McClanahan.
I was
is,
so excited.
Right?
Yeah.
And she got
yeah.
the she got the guest star applause.
She, it was
oh,
huge.
She did right when she came in. It was
yeah.
nuts.
I yeah. wanted to ask you about that. Can I pause already?
Yes.
Pause,
okay.
Of course.
did the audience at that point know she was there or was that a surprise reveal?
They save her.
Until uh-huh.
It's a surprise reveal.
Is
so they
it a
they introduce
reveal?
The main cast. It always was. Whenever you had a big guest star like that, you save them. So you
but
introduce
do you
the
really
main
think
cast.
A group of kids? Didn't they make them clap? Do you really think a group of kids knew who Rue McClanahan was?
No, but you have to remember she. I mean, Golden Girls was not that long before. Our
yeah.
show.
No,
you know,
I
mean,
know,
it seems like
again,
distant history now, but she was
not
a
huge whole bunch of
11
year olds that were like, we got to get home and see Golden
well,
Girls.
Will, they had applause lights.
I also,
but yeah. that's what I'm saying.
I also
they,
was
they,
that
yeah,
girl.
They literally had applause signs.
They told yeah. them to clap. It wasn't like
I'm
we're
sure.
holding Rue McClanahan back because she's a huge star for 11 year olds.
But
they
I
did
loved
hold her back.
Her.
They,
I was
they
11. I loved her. I watched Golden Girls from 5 years old on. Like I, that was, and that show also really holds up. Just so
oh,
you know.
It's an amazing show.
Being hilarious.
But
so
it's
funny.
Yeah. Still scares yeah. people that the women on Golden Girls were in their 50s.
I looked up her age on this episode because I was trying to do the math and I was like, she's in her 50s on this.
They were
I was like,
in
she's
their 50s. The Golden Girls. My wife cried when she found out. That the Golden Girls were in their 50s.
It's not right. And the oldest one was younger than
yes.
her daughter.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Sophia
yeah.
was younger than yeah. Dorothy.
But
oh
anyway.
My God.
No, so they so Rue, can I just very quickly, here's one thing that was amazing about this episode to me. I remember Rue McClanahan being in like every scene. And she wasn't. She was in like two scenes of the show. I remember her yeah. being like yeah. the crux of the thing, but it was really about how she wasn't there.
Right.
And,
so
did,
that was,
and yeah. did you have memories of meeting her?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Ryder, do you remember meeting her?
No. I mean,
yeah,
I must
I
have,
I remember because
no.
it was just in
I
the...
I never had a scene with her. So.
Yeah, it was very... She was very sweet. I mean, again, from what I remember. And she kind of came in and it was... She did her stuff and she was very professional and like she didn't hang out with us or anything. But she was very nice. You know, she came in and did her thing. But I was a huge Golden Girls fan, so I was... floored.
I wondered if they were trying to have her come back as a recurring character. It seemed like that would have been the smart move if they could get her.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
When I saw the title, I thought, oh no, grandma dies. And then I saw who the grandma was. I was like, no, she doesn't.
Episode 7 of Boy Meets World, they're already killing off characters.
I don't know. Are we jumping into the living room scene? Have we already passed the?
No, we haven't even started. Okay. I haven't said that our second guest star is Carrie Russell.
Yeah.
Huge.
So Carrie Russell as Jessica, Feeny's niece, and then now we are into the episode. We're in Feeny's backyard. Corey and Sean are picking snails off of Feeny's plants for when they go fishing. Alan says fish don't eat snails. Feeny laughs, saying he was mistaken. And I wrote down that this is maybe the first time I've seen Feeny smile.
I had to rewind it. Because I was like, I want to get exactly what's happening here.
You were already confused, huh?
I wasn't confused, but I thought, if I was a kid, I don't think I would get this joke. And then so I was like, I want to understand the joke. Okay, he's saying you have to pick snails, and then he's just trying to get them to take the snails off his plants. But like, he's convincing them. I mean, I got it. I'm not 9, but I did just rewind it to go, let's just see how this plays out.
It wasn't a huge laugh, really.
It didn't kill, but it was good.
I don't know that it was an A-plus joke, but sure.
But it's
a cold open.
It's
but
cute.
But going to what we've talked about before, where all the other Saved by the Bells and all the shows at the time, the kids always pull the fast one on the teacher. It's kind of interesting to see the teacher pulling a fast one on the kids every once in a while.
No, you're right.
And it
was cute.
Like, I thought Sean and Corey's reaction was very cute when they're kind of like,
Wait a minute.
Wait a second. George. And you know, this is the second time Feeny has pulled a fast one because was it the pilot where Corey...
The painted shutters.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's on the fence where Corey is like, you're going to pay me this amount. And he adds it up wrong. And Feeny's like, okay, great. So it's like, Feeny's pulling a fast one on all the kids left and right here.
And like I said, it's the first time where you really see Feeny smile and you realize that he has a life and interests outside of being a teacher. And it's actually very endearing to watch. And Ryder, I'd like to talk about your clothes again.
Well, my clothes are all I got because do I have any lines in this scene?
I don't think you do.
Yeah, you do at the end. No, at the end you do.
I don't think I do, man.
You don't need them.
No lines, exclamation point.
You say bye, Dad.
That's not in this scene, man.
No, you don't need lines. I thought you said the episode.
This scene, I literally walk all the way across the room and post up on the bench.
Listen, no one noticed that you didn't have lines because, like Lauren is saying, you didn't need them.
Natural charisma. You don't need to say a word.
We get it all.
But I do want to know, do you remember at all? So you had on a bright blue long sleeve, a pattern short sleeve that comes down to mid forearm. And then there is a white hooded thing that I can't see what that is under a denim vest. But I believe the white hood may be sewn into the vest.
I think so.
Okay. So it was a twofer.
Big. Yeah.
Two shirts and then a two-for-vest.
This was a pretty good looking outfit as far as the Sean. Yeah.
It was smaller. It was more tailored to you. And they've managed to get the look of four shirts with only giving you three shirts.
Yeah.
How did you not melt every night wearing 32 layers under the lights?
This is why I was panicked about changing clothes.
Yeah. And you remember that the sets are 36 degrees on tape nights? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's literally
always freezing. 40-ish
degrees. And then with the lights on, we're all still sweating. But anyway, okay, so... They realize that Feeny knows how to fish and Eric is not going fishing because he has discovered girls. So then we are into the living room. Eric is training Morgan to help him meet girls. And here's the pair up that we often talk about, Will, where you are with Lily Nixay Morgan.
Yeah.
And you're feeding her treats like a pet.
like you do.
Your mom loved it.
Oh, of course. All on board. Oh, you're going to take your little sister to the mall at 16 to bribe her to help you get women, girls. Good for you was the answer we got. It's like, okay.
Okay,
thanks.
Here's my question, and maybe we need to watch it back, but I think you are lip reading Lily a little bit.
I love when I can see that.
No. I am
because it's her lines, right?
Because that's her line. Like, I'm getting her to.
Oh, so you're actually, that's like layers to the acting.
I don't know. All I wrote down, Will's lip reading.
Yeah, no, that was a Michael Jacobs note. That was lip syncing. That was a Michael Jacobs note. He said, when she says the line, mouth along with her, like you're like, oh my God, she's getting the line right.
So it's part of the bit. Right.
That makes sense. It's to make it very obvious that you're the one who told her what to say.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that was, and that's not to say at some point in the future, I won't lip read somebody else totally by my own fault. But in that one sense, it was a Michael Jacobs note.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's BOUQS.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
Did you ever call her Weasel, like, after season?
No, Weasel no, was that, for that, that was like, I'm energy boy. Like, Weasel, they tried to make that work for three episodes, and they were like, well, we're not going to do that anymore. And that was it.
I think it's really cute. You did it in a previous episode where you called her Weasel, and then you nickname was Weeze. I just thought it was really cute. I wish it would have stuck around.
Yeah, and they tried to make Eric and Morgan work. Like, that was going to be a thing, and then that, and it just didn't.
It was very cute. Yeah. And that little girl was so great. She's so sweet.
She was adorable.
She's very funny. And then we hear a Winnebago playing La Cucaracha, and Grandma comes through the front door. And
this is the most showbiz-y 90s sitcom entrance I've ever seen in my life. I love it. It was perfect. It was a reminder of like how much we were still like in the live show business. You know what I mean? Like it felt very old timey in a way that you just don't have that anymore.
Like you were in the perfect window. That was like the best. I mean, I still think that was the best TV, but it's like, that was the most fun you could have. Like someone making an entrance like that, everyone going crazy, like waiting for it to die down. Like that's just so fun.
Hold for laughs.
It went on for a while.
Hold for your laughs. We'd hear that every week. Hold for your laughs. Yeah.
You know what else I noticed first here? And then it came back around when in the scene with Corey and Alan in the kitchen when he's making the sandwich, the way we used props in scenes to actually really make it feel natural and like what somebody does when they come in and they've got gifts and they've got a backpack and they're pulling things out and they're showing things and like still doing all of that while outward facing toward the camera and remembering all of her lines. It was business.
Good acting business.
Great. It did. It felt like a big performance. And she, I mean, she is a superstar. It just feel you felt like a superstar just walked on to the set.
Yeah.
It was really fun. I mean, what an entrance. So they're all excited to see Grandma. She's got gifts for everybody. She says she's staying for the weekend. Everybody's got to cancel their plans. Grandma's going to take Morgan shopping. She's going to take Eric to go meet girls at the auto show. And
she knows everybody's.
Yes.
Everybody's special thing. She goes right to them.
I know exactly.
And then with Corey, it's baseball. It's perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. The Cal Ripken card, his rookie card, and they're going to go get it signed. And Corey jumps on Grandma. And
which was pretty aggressive. I think the jumping, I was looking at Rue going, is she okay? She's like falling back on Morgan.
She's
was like
there's crushing Lily.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I saw. It's like, oh man, they're like about to kill this little girl.
Everyone's fine.
Do you guys remember though that kind of like the rehearsal stuff with that? Michael was very big on being very real with your physical moves. I remember it on Girl Meets World 2 where he'd be like, no, I really need the girls to fly through the bedroom window. And it was like, you mean you want them to appear as though they fly through the bedroom window. They can't actually fly through the bedroom window. But he, if it meant somebody was going to fall on someone and jump on someone, he's like, what do we have to do? Do we have to put pillows? Like, how do we make it happen? You just need to make it happen. I want that to happen. I want Ben to jump on her and I want her to fall back on Lily. Like, I can remember those rehearsals.
Yeah.
You said real, but it's actually the opposite. I think he wants it to be physical comedy that's real.
Yeah.
But the way he envisions it and the way he writes it is often extremely cartoony.
That's exactly what I mean. Yes.
So on the page, it would be this cartoony thing. He's like, no, we pick him up and we throw him through the door.
Correct.
And then you're like, that's not the way reality works. And you'd have to explain, you know. But then there are some actors like Mr. Wilfred L. Who can just pull magic tricks, you know, physically can do stuff that seem impossible. Like we'll get to the bag throwing later, you know, like that is a very cartoony script beat that Will pulls off miraculous and it's hysterical. You know, he makes it his own. Those are the kinds of things like that's why Michael loved writing for somebody like Will is that Will would just throw his body wholly into these things, you know. And then there are a lot of times when actors just have a hard time doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's old school, you know, live acting style. You have to really embody it. You have to physically do these kinds of crazy things. But yeah, Michael had had a cartoony vision of how human reality worked.
Yeah,
and
but I think it also
put
like
us in that corner.
It's like really clear when you're describing that's part of what made the show so like long lasting because
totally.
It's like there's such an extreme commitment all the time, and I think a lot of shows that get canceled really fast, you're lacking that. Like there's like a clear tone and like decisions being made about like that kind of stuff, and like what you were saying about all the props, Danielle, like. Even like making the muffins and stuff, like it felt so real. Like it's just like, oh, he's walking the kitchen. His mom's really doing that. Like, I don't know. There some shows didn't have that for sure.
Yeah, there was, writer, that was the perfect way of saying it. It was written very, on the page, it was written very cartoon-like, but what he wanted was very real physical comedy. He actually right. wanted a character to touch the other character. I want Rue McClanahan to have her shoulders be shaken and Lily being crushed under her grandma. Like, I can remember him, even though I was not there. I can envision it right now that I can, during a run-through, he was probably like, no, you actually need to jump on her shoulders, and Lily, you get buried under your grandma. Like, yeah. That was a vision that would be very important yeah. to him. Yeah. And I do think that part of the reason for that is that it helps sell the relationship between the family. You buy that they're a real family that sure. does this and has this mm-hmm. dynamic all the time. So and it does go a long way.
Not to get too psychological, but Michael Jacobs was a huge comic book fan, like a ridiculous amount of comic books. And as a comic book nerd, you're reading something that's cartoony, but you want it to be real. You want Superman right. to be real. You want Batman right. to be real. You want,
and so you see these bold, big, exactly. cartoony moves on the page, exactly. and then you're imagining them. Yeah.
And you want them to be real. So that's kind of what you do.
Okay, so we continue into the living room. Grandma and Eric walk in, and Eric shows Corey his arm signed by the Lamborghini girl.
I knew girl. That. So I'm sitting there watching the episode with my wife. I swear to you, I have not seen it any amount of this episode since it first aired. And about 30 seconds before, I turn to my wife and I go, Graziella Terziana.
I knew it too. The second you said that name, I was like, oh, I remember that. We used to say that. I guess we said it for years afterwards, but I totally remembered the name too. It was so funny.
Absolutely remember the name. The other thing my wife said was halfway through the first scene, she went, why is your head nodding so much? And I'd sit in the background. Everybody had a Clooney. Line and I would agree. I'd just agree with what everybody said. George Clooney it the whole time. I was just nodding my head.
But you had a good haircut too. I don't think it's talked about enough. You had a good haircut.
You're standing next to Ryder, if you're the ugly show pony, it doesn't matter.
the whole cast, great hair. And then Carrie Russell comes in.
I mean, and then Carrie Russell comes in.
I
wrote that down too, that you know they cast Carrie Russell partially because of that hair. Michael has a hair obsession,
he
for
does,
sure.
Another level with Carrie Russell.
So he's got his arm signed by Graziella Terziana, the Lamborghini girl. They compare the Lamborghini girl to Cal Ripken. Corey is like, you cannot compare. Cal Ripken's way better. Grandma said she's tired. Her dogs are barking. She takes her shoes off. And Corey asks, but you're not too tired to take me tomorrow to meet Cal Ripken? And she says, absolutely not. I'm so excited to spend the day with you tomorrow. And then in the kitchen, Eric hears Feeny knocking on the back door, so he lets him in. Feeny asks how to entertain a girl Eric's age. And Eric asks if Feeny is dating a teenage girl. And
as
then
you would.
Eric raises his eyebrows like it's very cool. If Feeny
wouldn't that
is
be cool if Mr. Feeny could
be a teenage
oh,
girl?
So gross.
Yikes. And it's just a moment that doesn't land well.
What does he say? No. Like, not since the Eisenhower era.
Yeah.
So.
But yikes. Hey, 70-year-old man, are you dating a teenage girl? Yikes.
And you're a teacher? Like, that would be the grossest thing. You could tell even in the way the audience laughs, though, it kind of falters a little bit.
There's yeah, like,
I could hear a couple people being like, ooh, like, yeah. that would not be good.
Not
I don't
want
to think about
all.
Mr. Feeny dating. I don't yeah. want to think about Mr. Feeny dating a teenager.
His answer
this is not right.
was perfect. It, not yes. since the Eisenhower administration. And then you yeah. get it that he's like, ew, disgusting. You know, he thinks it's gross and we're all saved and we can go back to loving Mr. Feeny.
So this is the scene that I remember during run through, like realizing how much of a genius
too.
Will was. And I remember the excitement in the room for the first run through, because you know I obviously hadn't been there for the rehearsals for this, but even just I remember little beats like the way Will was eating the pizza, because it was during the run through you got the pizza, and you know Danielle, you were talking earlier about Rue walking in with all the business. Like, business is so essential for acting. You know, it's like what you do with your hands. And it's always a way to sort of get out of your head and to make yourself busy without being too focused on the conflict within the scene with another actor. So business is like an essential writing, acting, directing technique. And Will, you found this business with the pizza. And I don't even know if I can't remember if it was written or not, but watching it when we were in rehearsals and you actually held a piece of pizza for the rehearsal. And then like even just you stumbling back into the chair on your way out, it was like you just clearly found your comedic voice this week, I feel like,
I agree.
As an actor. And it was such a fun, like, oh my God. And of course, to be up against Bill as the straight man, you know, mm-hmm. like your character.
Yeah.
And you know, it just portends what's to come, which is so much more of this, right? Like the rest of the show, this scene is going to play out in some form or another many, many times. And this one is really good.
Yeah, this scene was nuts for me because I was just so happy to be working with Bill. I finally felt a joke. Like when you actually hit a joke, you can feel it. It's like you're ringing a tuning fork. And I'd never felt that before. Right. And I was like,
That's so exciting.
It is. It's huge. It's like, oh man, I got it. And one of the first big laughs I ever got was a mistake. And it was a mistake during that scene. And it was our first run through ever. And the line is, I would love to meet your niece, Mr. Feeney. And I said, I would love to meet your feast, Mr. Nene. And the writers and producers laughed hysterically, and it was written on the chalkboard in the writer's room, I want to meet your feast, Mr. Nene, for the rest of the season.
They're like, how do we top this?
Scene so well.
Oh yeah, God. It was just, I remember them, and hearing, even though I did it as a mistake, hearing that natural laughter blast you from one side, because they're standing there, you know, next to you, was it's a drug. It's a man, I was
but
like, you know, oh,
it's
I
also,
gotta chase
it's
that.
Also, but it's also the fact that they laughed and welcomed your mistake was, yeah. you know, that's part of the safety net that you need in order to find comedy and to be funny. And I think, like, especially as kids, you're always terrified that you're going to do something wrong. And, like, you think that messing up your lines or saying the words out of order is going to ruin it. And then you've, you know, not done your job. And the fact that they laughed and made it part of it, like, no, this scene totally worked. It doesn't matter that you said feast, Nene, or whatever. That, like, I'm sure was a huge step into comfort, you know, and recognizing that, like, you can stumble, you can screw things up, and, like, that's not the point. The point is to just be funny and to be confident and to, you know, allow yourself the freedom to make mistakes.
Yeah, it was great. This is by far, I would argue, this is my, as an actor, my most important episode of the entire show. Like, this helped me kind of find my voice and feel more comfortable and... Yeah, this was great for me.
There really was like a light switch had just been flipped and you were lit up from within and suddenly you were in your skin. And it was, I mean, it really is. Because I was saying all along, you've been hard on yourself in the other episodes. But seeing you in this episode compared to what we had seen in the previous episode, it is very apparent that you were uncomfortable before and that now you are very comfortable. So welcome,
too,
Will Friedle, to the show.
You. I have joined the show as Eric Matthews in episode 7.
So... Feeney just really wants to know how you keep a teenage girl entertained. And he says basically it's some combination of dinner and a movie. And but Eric says, you know, oh, I definitely cannot entertain your niece for you. I have strep throat. And,
I love that bit.
Yeah. He's like, oh, really? Ooh. Get as he was eating the pizza. and so Corey comes down into the kitchen. So that you guys end that scene. That you're not going to entertain his niece, and he basically leaves. And then
don't
we're
mock
still-
what I am, Mr. Feeling.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a funny joke, but they went out kind of hard on it. Like it was kind of like, yeah. Don't do that.
That was so cool.
How rude, Feeney. So then the next scene is still in the kitchen. Corey walks down and he asks where Grandma is. And Amy is baking blueberry muffins. And she asks if Corey wants to help. Then Eric comes down and asks how long he can go without taking a shower so that he can keep his autographed arm intact.
Yikes.
And then Eric spots... Carrie Russell as girl. Jessica in the backyard. Yeah, and the way you say it, they're like, oh, I've got other interests other than girl. There she is. It was really funny.
Can I say one thing about the mom I thought was really sweet? Like, and I think maybe this is my adult version of myself watching the show now, but there was like, he says like, what, something about the grandma, and then she's like, why don't we make muffins? I'm like, she knows something's
about
to go down.
Yeah.
And it's like, as a kid, you don't catch that at all, but there's something sweet about her just like, pivoting his interest into something
attention.
Else.
Yeah, that was really great. And Betsy played that so great because it was like, you could tell, but kept the scene moving, but you just enough to be like, oh no. This
yeah. happened. And the parents, I mean, you've talked about it a bit when you had Rusty on, but it was, they're both so genuine and it feels so comforting to watch them. I think that's also a big part of like this ensemble. That's so like, they have such a nice grounding weight that, carries it that you don't really realize when you're watching it as a kid, but it's like, oh, the parents are such an integral part of the show because it's like they're they're keeping this sort of like all these kids who are off doing all these funny things, like they're kind of just like weighing it down, giving it like real, like real life.
Well, they're so relaxed, you know, they don't get rattled. That's the thing. Neither one of them as characters or as actors ever feel out of control. And that's really important, I think, you know, and we'll talk about it later. But I, you know, when Rusty and Ben have their scene, I was surprised by how like it actually minimizes all this, the conflict, you know, like because Rusty's like, yeah, that's his mom, man. I've always loved her.
Yeah. But that's like a
wonderful, like, oh, it's all this problem and all this feeling of like lack of love is, we'll get to it. But
I think that's to your point,
the parents are intentionally in control. You know, they're just not, they're cool.
Can I ask you a question?
Can I ask you a question? Because this is, you brought it up a little bit and it's something that we've touched on a little bit. You said you watched this as a kid and now you're watching as an adult. Is it like watching a whole different show because you're seeing it through the eyes of an adult now?
I do think there's a bit of that. I mean, now I also have the experience of doing multicam shows myself now, so that adds like a layer of like understanding that I didn't have. But I think just the storylines, I'm seeing them I see it differently as an adult. Like that thing, I mean, just noticing like, oh, she has a secret that she's not telling him. It's like, oh, she's trying to take care of him. She's being a good mom. It's like, definitely wasn't caring about that, you know, at the time. Going like, what does Corey want to do, you know? So like, not thinking about it that way. But it's nice to see it that way. I think like, and seeing Feeny, like, and thinking about these actors and listening to you guys talk about it, I think is opening up this other just world of thought with it. Just how, you know, these adult actors were coming into this show, having interesting careers and then going like, I'm going to do this show that's focused on a child. And like, what does that mean for me? And like, is this what I want to do? And the ways that they come into it and like rise to that and like actually elevate the show so much that within the way they probably weren't expecting to bring, you know, as like taking that job or like what they're signing up for, you know, but it's like it made the show so much more in a way that you don't fully recognize when you're just watching at surface level. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different watching it as an adult, for sure. Cool. Side note, my friend, I was just thinking, my friend in sixth grade went to a taping, and I was so jealous. She went to L.A. and with her dad, and he took her to see Boy Meets World, and she had the script. I don't know how she got the script, but she brought it back, and I was
They
would do contests during our tape night to give away signed scripts.
Oh, okay, amazing.
Oh, was there really?
Yeah, I remember that now.
We would sign 10 scripts every night. Every tape night, we would sign 10 scripts and then, or five, or I think it was 10. And then they would give them out by, you know, kids got up and sang or people got up and did anything. They would have contests.
I remember the contest, but it was for a script. Yeah. I do remember. Those were the prizes for signed scripts.
So there's a lot of people out there who probably have signed, you know, full cast signed. And I think even the guest stars would sign them for that week. So
awesome.
I remember every tape night before we went backstage, we'd have to sign 10 scripts.
Yeah, last week at Comic-Con, I signed a number of scripts that I could tell were original. They had been ripped off, but they had the stickers in the upper right-hand corner where our names would go. So they were actual, I signed a number of them where it's like, oh, so somebody's kind of flooding the market with these. And they had ripped off whoever it was who had got it.
To conceal their identity.
Yeah, but I was like, these are real. And I said to the guys, like, I wonder if this is real. I was like, no, this is real. I can tell this is real.
Cool.
So those are starting to come out now.
That's fun. Interesting.
Here's a really, really, really inside baseball question, but I honestly can't remember. Did we use letters or numbers for our scenes? This is a big divide in the sitcom world.
Sometimes letters.
So scene A?
Yeah.
So we had act one, scene A. Okay, that's right.
And
okay.
It's still ingrained.
Was it the same on Girl?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you sure we didn't do number?
So.
Okay, cool. I couldn't remember. I was like, you know, because it becomes so important. Like, what scene are we in?
Yeah.
And in sitcoms, they either do 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, or 1-A, 1-B, 1-C.
We do letters. And it's still ingrained in me because as I'm watching the episode, I'll be writing notes and I'll be like, oh, it's the cold open. It's act one, scene A. I'll still write that out as I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, this conversation is going amazingly well, and we have so much more to get to with Lauren Lapkus, so we are going to split this up into two episodes, so I hope you don't mind. Join us for the next episode. You will not be disappointed. We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbakhsh. Producer, Lorraine Verwez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.